Dot com.
Let's get it started in here. Feel my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart.
He has a fine tuchus.
I can't tell where the journey will end. I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand.
Please clap.
They say I'm caught up in a dream.
Hello there.
Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me.
Go chef.
So wake me up when it's all over.
Good morning, and I love your show.
Can you dig it?
You are special.
Going through websites this morning looking for prep for today's Twin Cities News Talk show. Good morning. My name is John Justice, and there is producer Robbie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. You are special in every single way.
I'm on the Pioneer Press, and sidebar, I'm looking, and there's a headline. The headline is, Donald Trump falsely claims media ignored North Dakota teen's death. I instantly knew where this was going. Like, I didn't even have to. I read it. I've done notes. I didn't need to because I knew where this was going. The standard by which Trump is held to is truly, truly incredible. Like, I would be fine with it if journalists, media outlets held everybody to the same standard, but they don't. All right, so the article, former President Donald Trump falsely claimed national media outlets ignored a fatal crash in North Dakota where the driver allegedly said he hit an 18-year-old because the teenager was Republican. During a Friday night rally in Wilmington, so let's stop there just real quick. So it's Wednesday. This rally took place by Trump Friday. So, I don't know if the article writer was just desperate to find something to write about or what, but I'm like, wow, there's some distance on that particular. Be that as it may, it's minor point. Okay.
It got delivered by the Pony Express.
Trump weighed in on the September 18th death of Kyler Ellingson, which we talked about on the show. Shannon Joseph Brandt, 41. Hit the teenager with a vehicle after a street dance in North Dakota, according to state troopers. Brandt told the North Dakota Highway Patrol he hit Ellingson that Sunday morning because of a political argument, according to the criminal complaint. When he called 911, Brandt said that he thought that Kyler was a Republican extremist. I mean, those were his words. Okay. Brandt had claimed that Ellingson called several people to come after it. Okay. Brandt's claims have sparked criticism from well-known Republicans across the country, including questions about why the defendant was charged with criminal vehicular homicide instead of murder. Both are felony charges, the article goes on to state, but murder carries a life sentence. Criminal vehicular homicide is punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Now, I didn't hear much in the way of complaints with regard to that particular point. I did hear complaints, understandably so, that Brandt was released on $50,000 bond. Okay, there was that's again kind of neither here nor there to what I want to point out with this piece, but be that as it may, that was the core of the complaint that I had heard. Okay. Trump pointed at journalists covering his rally in North Carolina, saying they should be ashamed of themselves for not publishing stories about the crash. Trump claimed not one mainstream media network even mentioned this horrible crime. Think of it the other way, he went on to say. Supposing a MAGA person ran down somebody on the other side, it would be the biggest story you've ever seen. It's a disgrace. Okay, so to my point here, Trump shouldn't have stated it that way. I'm not going to give him a pass on that, okay? Because as the article goes and points out, it says several national media outlets, Fox News, CNN, AP, Washington Post, picked up on the story, as did the Foreign Press, which is where this article was written as reprinted in the Star Tribune. So that was a generalization on Trump's point. But everybody knows what Trump meant. This wasn't headline news. It wasn't covered ad nauseum had you gone and flipped the script, which was the more relevant point in the second point that he made. So again, I'm not going to give Trump a pass for saying no mainstream media network mentioned this horrible crime. He was generalizing. Use your brain and you understand what Trump was saying. There's blatant hypocrisy going on here. But it's Trump. He must almost be 100% accurate. There's no margin for nuance or generality when it comes to Donald Trump, to the point where an article will be written almost a week after Trump went and said something, who hasn't announced he's running for office yet and currently isn't holding a position of power. That doesn't stop there with this article, by the way. The Forum was also the first to report the state troopers were skeptical that the crash was politically motivated. No evidence supports Brandt's claims about Ellingson, including that the teenager called people to go after the motorist. Brandt? State troopers were skeptical the crash was politically motivated? Brandt said he thought that the individual 18-year-old was a Republican extremist. Brandt made statements that when he was, statements that he was allegedly drunk. The article ends on this. It's not uncommon for people to say things to cover up a crime. The patrol said it continues to investigate the case. We have audio of Amy Klobuchar essentially saying, again, right, going back to let's hold everybody by the same standards, essentially saying, if you vote for Democrats, we can stop hurricanes. That's what she alludes to. We have a story coming up in Robbie's Rundown in a moment where Biden's going to just end hunger.
Holy crap, what's going on?
He's going to end it. We're going to end hunger. He's not going to. He's going to redistribute the wealth, and it's not going to go and help any children. But it doesn't matter. I wonder if this article writer will zero in on perhaps the discrepancies between Governor Tim Walz, the Minnesota Department of Education, and the Feeding Our Future scandal, right? Or Keith Ellison commenting on attorney-client privilege and not giving more of his views and opinions on what happened with Feeding Our Future, that they had to keep paying Feeding Our Future or they would skip town. That was one of Ellison's arguments that he laid out as well. Look, they knew exactly what Trump meant. But Trump will always be held to a different standard than everybody else. The media's lost, man. Absolutely lost. 651-989-5855. We do have Robbie's Rundown coming up. An update on Feeding Our Future. One DFL senator is stepping up, trying to, you know, hold themselves accountable, clear their name. A woman says, let them read cake. And Robbie's Rundown. Plus, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you're going to want to hear one of the stories in the middle of Robbie's Rundown. We'll get to your talkbacks coming up via the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Twin Cities News Talk.
It's time for Robbie's Rundown. Robbie's Rundown.
You all right in there?
Yes. I had to do a couple different things here to make sure the plane took off on time, and we are about to be cruising at 10,000 feet.
Twin Cities News Talk. I think he's prepared. Robbie, run us down, please.
Robbie's run down, almost left the runway. First up, number 5, the return of $3,000 in the Jedi.
I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully.
Number 5.
I tried.
Please continue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You are fascinating to talk to.
It's true.
A DFL state senator, John, says he has returned $3,000 in campaign contributions from a woman accused of participating in a scheme to defraud the federal government of $250 million intended to feed hungry children, the Feeding Our Future scandal, as we've discussed basically every day on the show for the past week. Campaign finance records show
McFira Hussein and her relatives contributed a combined $3,000 to Senator John Hoffman's campaign. All the donations were made in the same day last December. Hoffman said he was made aware of the donations last Tuesday night, shortly after U.S. Attorney Andy Lugar announced charges in the case. I was shocked to learn of this, and immediately on the morning of 9/21 of this year, sought out who and how I can return the money. That afternoon, I wrote a check for all the campaign donations from this individual and her family, and that money is being returned to authorities in the U.S. Marshal's Office who are prosecuting the case, and they will ensure that all the return funds are handled appropriately, Hoffman said in an email to Alpha News. The Democrat from Champlin called the allegations and the indictments unsealed last week shocking and indefensible. The people who stole money that was meant to feed children must be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. I support the efforts to bring them to account and the work being done to make sure something like this never happens again, he added. At least five other Democratic office holders accepted donations from individuals charged in the case.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you've got Walls, Keith Ellison, Minneapolis, Man, Baby, Mayor, Mom, Jeans, Jacob Fry, and Ilhan Omar. Now, I could be wrong on those. I know for sure Man, Baby, Mayor, Fry, and Omar received funds from individuals indicted in this. I'm only kind of 50-50 on Ellison and Walls. I'm fairly certain. But what will be obviously, you know, interesting to see is whether or not other individuals, DFLers, because I don't think you're going to see many Republicans who got money from Feeding Our Future. But it'll be interesting to see if this is the first of campaign dollars returned. And it is... I'm not holding my breath that other prominent individuals like Fry and Omar, and if Ellison and Walls did, will do that. Because I fully believe that on their end of things, they will look at it going, well, if we give this money, then we're kind of admitting to, you know, the optics of this whole thing. We'll see. That would be the right thing to do. And I would give them credit where credit is due if they return the money. And I give this Senator John Hoffman, this DFL senator, credit where credit is due for doing the right thing. This was the right thing to do in returning this money.
And our guest in about a half an hour's time, he may have an opinion on the Keith Ellison thing that you had just brought up there, whether you were 50-50 on whether or not he was involved. So I'm sure our guest in about a half an hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim Schultz, running for attorney general, will be joining us right around 6:55 this morning. He put out a press release yesterday calling on Ellison to stop lying about his handling of the Feeding Our Future fraud. So, yeah, Robbie, you're correct. We'll ask whether or not Jim Schultz is aware of that. I'll try to do a little bit of digging here coming up during the break as well. And also what specifically Jim Schultz believes that Ellison is lying about with regard to this scandal.
Next up, well, this is one way to stick out amongst your peers. Just do it.
Number four.
This is a great story, and I'm glad that we put this in the rundown today. This is one of my favorite stories of the week.
I'm all for it, man.
If not the month. Denise Baldwin has been delivering on Instacart for about 6 months. Orders come and go, so that's probably the hardest part, is just getting enough orders into a day, Baldwin said. On September 8th, when she opened her Instacart app, an order had just come in from a Hillsboro Albertson grocery store. It was just something that I was just a little shocked by, Baldwin said. She was shocked because the order was to deliver a half-sheet vanilla-flavored cake with a resume printed on it. The delivery address was Nike's main Beaverton campus. I've always wanted to deliver to Nike, but I know that there's a lot of security behind it, Baldwin said. North Carolina native Carly Pavlinak Blackburn ordered the resume cake. She was just laid off from a marketing job and had spent time sending out resume after resume the traditional way. I've gotten hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you're not a fit for this job emails and rejections and stuff, Pavlinak Blackburn said. But she was determined. She set her eyes on Nike's Valiant Labs as her next career. There was only one problem. The problem was they weren't hiring for a position on the team that day, said Pavlinak Blackburn. $50 later, and the resume cake was on its way to Nike inside Baldwin's car. With her 8-month-old son on her hip and a half-sheet cake in her hand, Baldwin was not going to let Pavlinak Blackburn down. I had told her on the phone when I was at security, don't worry, I'm going to make sure that this gets to the right person for you because I know how important this is for you, and that means it's important for me, Baldwin said. Talked to security, and they were like, you can just leave the cake. And I was like, no, I need to make sure it gets delivered to Mac Myers. Baldwin's unwavering determination paid off. As proof of delivery, she took a picture of Myers, a lead at Nike's Valiant Labs, holding the cake. So a North Carolina woman gets creative with her resume and puts it on a cake and gets it delivered to a multi-billion-dollar company in Nike.
When did you Like, when did you enter into radio? Like, how many years ago was that? Do you recall top of your head?
Yeah, about 10.
About 10 years ago? Okay. One of these days, I'll have to tell the story. Because, actually, I don't think that I've ever talked about this at any point. Not that it's, you know, anything that I was hiding. It's just part of my career I didn't talk about. But when I started off in radio, this is going back to 1995 when I went to the Academy of Radio Broadcasting and the first job around like 96. So it's been some 27 some odd years. I mean, this was back when you were still putting out demos on cassette tape. And there was actually a company that I would go to that would reproduce these cassette tapes for me. But at the time, the line of thinking, and this relates to the story, the line of thinking was you've got to grab the attention because I was looking to work in music radio and rock and alternative rock radio.
Sure.
You've got to grab the attention of the program director because they are flooded constantly with demo tapes. And so, you know, you go, I mean, you send pizzas with your demo. You put it in a flashy silver package. All of this ridiculous nonsense to try to go and grab the attention of a potential program director or potential employer. So I've got all the respect in the world for the move here to put a resume on a cake, because at a bare minimum you've got to believe that at least they'll give it just a once over, right, before they cut into it. You'd like to believe that at least, you know, somebody has got just, hey, you put in that much effort, I'll at least give it a read before I cut this up and we can't read anything anymore.
And what's funny is that she was trying to get into marketing. It's not like she was trying to get into do like construction.
Yeah.
So like this is something
that
could be used, yeah, in her job description.
Incredibly relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. But great story there, John. Great story.
All right, coming up, we do have more of Robbie's rundown. Something I predicted a long time ago as it relates to the domino that fell with the changing of the name of the Washington Redskins. And they said once that one fell, it was going to be the start of further changes to major sports teams' names. We have an example of this. Thankfully, it looks like it's been mocked. We'll see where it goes. Plus, President Joe Biden talking about, you know, ending hunger. Still coming up in Robbie's Rundown here on Twin Cities News Talk FM. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. John Justice and producer Robbie as we work through his rundown for AO Wednesday. Jim Schultz for Attorney General will be calling in right around 6:55. Before the end of the hour, a real quick story. I just found it fascinating. NFL mystery, what did Aaron Rodgers see on the Jumbotron to beat Brady? I've never, like, this is the kind of thing that, like, I've speculated and wondered about if ever happened. And so this is like the first instance of I've ever heard something like this happening before. And I was a little surprised. And I know, Robbie, you had some thoughts on this, and we'll get into it coming up when we play the audio from Aaron Rodgers for those Green Bay Packer fans of the show. Isaac Orr, I'm talking about you. I was a little shocked to see Aaron Rodgers kind of admit what happened with this whole incident. So we'll get into that before we talk with Jim Schultz again right around 6:55 this morning.
Next up.
Dad, can't you have some other kind of party? One where you don't serve meat?
But all normal people love meat. If I went to a barbecue and there was no meat, I would say, yo, Goober, where's the meat? I'm trying to impress people here, Lisa. You don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad. You don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad.
Number 3.
Eating green and feeling blue, John? Vegetarians experience depressive episodes twice as frequently as meat eaters, according to a new study by Brazilian researchers published in the Journal of Affective Disorders. There's a positive association between the prevalence of depressive episodes and a meatless diet, the study read. Scientists set out to investigate the potential association between a meatless diet and depression among adults, surveying over 14,000 participants aged 35 to 74 over 6 months. They were evaluated using the Clinical Interview Schedule revised instrument, a tool used to diagnose common mental health disorders. Vegetarians were found to have doubled the number of depressive episodes as meat eaters during the same period, even when variables such as smoking, alcohol intake, physical activity, and micronutrient intake were taken into account. A number of other studies suggest a distinct correlation between mood and food. In 2017, researchers looked at the diets of folks with major depressive symptoms and found that people with depression who followed a diet high in whole grains, lean protein, low-fat dairy, and plant foods were four times more likely to be in remission than those who ate ultra-processed foods. So this is where the Costco pizza comes into play.
See, this is Brazilian researchers?
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah, I think this is all just a ploy so they can promote more of their Brazilian barbecue.
Mmm, the churrascaria?
Oh, so good.
You like that, huh?
Brazilian barbecue, Mongolian barbecue.
Mongolian's good, too.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do, is just to get the do-it-at-home version, where you just get all the different meats. Mm-hmm. You throw it into a pan, toss in some veggies, multiple types of sauces, and just cook that sucker up.
See, the one place,
so good.
The one place that I used to love going to as a kid and even as a teenager was the Chinese buffet, and I just can't do it as an adult. I can't eat the quality of meat that is in some of those Chinese buffets.
Your picky's up on food. Do you know this?
No, but listen,
you really are. You've kind of got a bit of a picky's up attitude when it comes to food. I don't want to. I just, you know, Robbie's got a bit of your little picky's up.
I don't want to break any news here, but I think we've discussed this about my chicken thing. You know, remember we had that thing. I don't eat red meat, so like my diet, my protein is chicken, turkey, pork, and that's pretty much it with my protein. But I'm not depressed. I'm very happy, as you can hear, every day, and so are you. And we both eat meat.
Well, unless the Vikings lose.
Well,
which you've warned me about.
Yeah, I have. And we're going to get into a bit of a baseball story here. And if a certain team wins, we'll get into that. But yes, if the Vikings lose, I'm not a happy camper. But you know what? When they get whacked like they did last Monday night, what am I supposed to do? Come in here and complain? If they get screwed on a call, or if something happens where they're supposed to win and they don't, then I'll get mad. But if you get beat, you get beat. Just like your driver, right? If Bowman blows a tire, what are you going to say? Oh, my goodness. It's unfortunate.
That happened over last weekend.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Happened too many times this season.
Yeah, there you go.
To the specifics of the story, by the way, these vegans and vegetarians depressed twice as much as meat eaters. You know, it's so subjective. I know they did a study here. I know there's some 14,000 participants. I get that. You know, I'm not into veganism. I'm not into vegetarians. But it's also, there's so many variables involved, and plenty of people out there that are vegans and vegetarians that live completely healthy, you know, lifestyles and aren't depressed. So I don't put, it's interesting, right? It makes some sense. I do think that our bodies were made to consume meat. Okay. From that, that's my view on it. But if somebody decides they want to be a vegan or vegetarian, that's on them. If they just, you know, want to eat crappy food all the time and not enjoy, you know, the protein. It's more for me and Robbie. Mm-hmm. I just don't put a ton of stock into depressed twice as much as meat eaters.
Fair enough.
If they would say that, you know, they're twice as likely to be liberals, then I would probably give it to you.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
And coming up next hour, we have the head of PETA on.
People eating tasty animals.
That's correct. Next up, it's a brave new world.
Number two.
Twitter roasted White House Press Secretary KJP for suggesting that conversations about rebranding the Atlanta Braves are important to have.
We believe that it's important to have this conversation. And Native American and Indigenous voices, they should be at the center of this conversation. That is something that the president believes, that's something that this administration believes, and he has consistently emphasized that all people deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. You hear that often from this president. The same is true here, and we should listen to Native American and Indigenous people who are the most impacted by this.
Well, that's what she had to say to the assembled media, John. And then those comments coincided with the team's visit to the White House to celebrate their 2021 World Series win over the Houston Astros, and followed a question concerning the franchise's controversial tomahawk chop rallying cry performed during games. Reactions poured in as fans, lawmakers, and more called the Biden administration, quote, out of touch, and claimed the suggestion missed the mark of the major concerns most Americans have. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp tweeted, "The Braves should always be the Atlanta Braves. Go Braves and keep chopping."
Yeah.
The Braves have long touted their partnership with the Native American community, particularly the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation, based approximately 3 hours from Atlanta in North Carolina. That is the closest casino also to Atlanta. As you know, gambling in the South is not prevalent if you're not in Florida. The Braves have been there, obviously forever since moving from Milwaukee, and this is just a complete kind of sideshow And I think it's a disaster, and it's not going to get any sort of steam whatsoever.
You're fascinating to talk to.
I mean, the Braves get me all disheveled, and I hate them. And they won last night, and the Mets lost, and now they're tied for the division lead. And I'm
there it is.
Yeah, I lost some sleep last night.
There we go.
Yeah, I hate them.
Hello there.
Yeah, okay, now we understand.
And they won last year, and I used to work in Atlanta, and I have friends down there, and I just don't like the Braves.
I mean, there was an underlying frustration that I wasn't sure what the impetus was.
And I hate that stupid tomahawk chop.
Now,
and if it was any other team, I would have played the chant from my computer, but I refuse to give that chop any airtime.
But you don't hate it for woke reasons. You just don't like it in general because you don't like the Braves.
No, the only chop I hate for woke reasons is that city in Seattle or whatever.
Listen, I've never understood the controversies around the names of these sport team of these sports teams. They're not named after these entities to be a negative. They're tributes. They're celebrations. They always have been.
I agree.
You know, and typically the controversies around this, they fall along political lines, pushing agendas from individuals that really don't care apart from bringing in more money to whatever organization they're working for. And it always seemed counterproductive to me. Nobody is out there as a Braves fan mocking Braves. Yeah, I mean, the tomahawk chop doesn't do that.
Right.
The Washington Redskins didn't do that.
Now, Indians.
Right, and I understand the controversy of Redskins and the terminology there, but again, it was a tribute. It was a celebration. And this goes back to the other example that gets used quite a bit as of late and showed up in a lot of memes was the Native American woman on the tubs of the Lando Lakes butter.
Yes.
I sit back and go, If you're a member of that community, what specifically about that are you finding offensive, and do you really want that representation removed? People aren't buying Lando Lakes butter and then mocking the individual on the cover. I never understand that mentality, but that's probably because I'm a conservative and I like to embrace common sense.
I enjoy Aunt Jemima syrup, but they had to change the name of that because it was racist.
According to some people.
Now, I will say, though, the Indians' name, the Redskins' name, St. John's, before they changed their name to the Red Storm, was the Red Men. I mean, these names are offensive to some people. But, unfortunately, it is baked into our culture to a point where it's just, to me, it seems fruitless and pointless. And the fact that they changed it already in Washington and the fact that even brought up for the Braves is just is comical.
Well, and my expectation is going to be this. On a long enough timeline, you're going to see the inverse take place. Where you're going to see, as leadership within these activist organizations change over, and when we move decades on, you're going to see a call for, we need more representation of these particular minority groups within our major parts of our society and our sports teams. That's what I fully expect to happen on a long enough timeline as these changes get made and these organizations end up falling out of light within the public eye and they try to find some sort of controversy to latch onto. You watch. It may not happen within my generation, but for my children, I bet if any of them were to become a talk show host, which I'm not encouraging them to do, they'll be on the air one day talking about how well they want to go and, you know, change the what is the Washington team now?
It's just Commanders.
The Commanders. They want to change the Commanders to Redskins. There's a big controversy about this now. They've been Commanders for decades. You watch, it'll happen.
You think it'll flip around?
Yes. Yeah. I guarantee it's going to flip around.
Well, I will say this, in the NFL, they've had something in place for about 20 years now called the Rooney Rule, which basically requires teams to interview minority candidates before they would hire a white candidate as a head coach.
Okay.
And basically, the Rooney Rule has kind of turned into a sham now. And as we saw with Drew's former coach, Brian Flores, remember, he sued, he's in the process of suing the NFL for basically job discrimination. And so these black head coaches, or these black assistants, were getting these interviews that were just kind of token interviews.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
They weren't even given a fair chance. They were just kind of brought in to kind of fulfill the rule. So even when they do put these mandates in place, these owners, who, which is an old boys club at the NFL, still just treat it as nothing. So I'm not sure when things are going to change. But as far as the name change, it's as far as the Braves go, it's a joke.
It's a lot of style over substance.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, we get to number one, hungry.
Number one.
The Biden administration is laying out its plan to meet an ambitious goal of ending hunger in the U.S. by 2030, including expanding monthly benefits that help low-income Americans buy food, John.
Boy, 2030 is going to be a big year. I mean, we're ending hunger, we're getting rid of carbon emissions, mm-hmm. you can't buy gasoline-powered automobiles anymore. Or was that 2035?
I don't remember.
I'm close. That decade's going to be big.
Yes. I think Barron Trump is going to be the president of this.
At this point, I'll take it. He can be president now as far as I'm concerned.
The administration, John, in a plan released on Tuesday, is also seeking to increase healthy eating and physical activity so that fewer people are afflicted with diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and other diet-related diseases. It said it would work to expand Medicaid and Medicare access to obesity counseling and nutrition. Quote, the consequences of food insecurity and diet-related diseases are significant, far-reaching, and disproportionately impact historically undeserved communities, Biden wrote in a memo outlining the White House strategy. Yet, food insecurity and diet-related diseases are largely preventable if we prioritize the health of the nation. Biden hosted a conference this week on hunger, nutrition, and health, the first by the White House since 1969. It's the year the Mets won the World Series. That conference under President Nixon was a pivotal moment that influenced the U.S. food policy agenda for 50 years, John. It led to a greatly expanded food stamps program and gave rise to the Women, Infants, and Children program, which serves half the babies born in the U.S. by providing women with parenting advice, breastfeeding support, and food assistance. Over the years, cuts to federal programs coupled with stigmas over welfare and big changes to how food and farming systems are run have prompted declines in access to food. Now, Biden is hoping this week's conference is similarly transformative, but the goal of Nixon, a Republican, was also to put an end to hunger in America for all time. So, Biden unveils a new plan here to end hunger in the U.S. by 2030, John.
It's not going to happen.
No?
Yeah. So, like, just like the Inflation Reduction Act is not going to lower inflation. He's not curing cancer. He's not ending hunger. He's being sued for the cancellation of student loans. He really is like the magician of the Democrat Party. Abracadabra. Ah, problem solved. It's not ending anything. It's a redistribution of wealth, pure and simple. The money that they're going to spend on this is not going to go to where it needs to go to help any of these children. If you want to go and help with hunger, quit government spending, lower taxes, provide school choice, and give parents and guardians the ability to make the choices necessary that's best for their children, because parents and guardians of children will always make better choices than the government. Good job, Robbie.
Thank you very much, and me and the Mets will try and do better tomorrow.
So, NFL mystery. What did Aaron Rodgers see on the Jumbotron to beat Brady? I just found the story fascinating.
Oh, it's great.
So, Brady had his Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the brink of a tie with the Green Bay Packers as the final seconds ticked away at Raymond James' stadium after scoring a touchdown to make it 14-12. Brady and the Bucs got set to go for a game-tying two-point conversion, but Rodgers saw something on the stadium's Jumbotron and apparently told his coaches what play was coming. We actually have audio of Rodgers in the postgame.
So you come all the way down and talk to Matt LaFleur during that final drive with the defense on. What was going through you during the two-point conversion, especially after you saw the fact that they took the five-yard penalty?
Well, they should have on the previous play, too. It was a delay on both plays. But sometimes you see things in the game. Sometimes the Jumbotron shows things they probably shouldn't show, even at home. I saw something and just passed on the information.
Rodgers was seen talking to the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on the sidelines as the Bucs lined up to go for two. A delay of the game penalty pushed them back to the 7-yard line. Then the Packers defense had perfect coverage as Brady's throw to Russell Gage fell to the turf. According to a Reddit post, fans at the game said Brady's tablet with the play diagrammed on the screen was shown on the Jumbotron. Brady has been known for smashing the devices in fits of sideline rage. Bucks coach Todd Bowles said that he will meet with the team's football operations department to find out what was displayed on the Jumbotron. I've never heard of anything like this happening before.
So my family was at the game. They can confirm that this did happen. My dad, my two brothers, they have Bucks season tickets. They live down in Tampa, and they're preparing for quite a hurricane. But This was quite a scene there. But yes, they did confirm that they did show it.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Camera operator gets fired over this, you think?
I would say maybe. So. I would say so.
Maybe. Or at a bare minimum, no, don't go and show, you know, that close. I mean, to get that close to actually have Aaron Rodgers see that on there, and that's pretty amazing.
And the Bucks may be here this week, so hopefully they don't show that on the Jumbotron. They may be playing here because of the hurricane, John.
Yeah, we might talk about a neutral site because of Ian
Ziering.
The hurricane or Ian Ziering.
And as we both know, the Vikings are in London, so the stadium is vacant.
All right, coming up, we are going to hear from candidate for Attorney General Jim Scholz. He's calling on Ellison to stop lying about his handling of the Feeding Our Future scandal. So we'll get his thoughts on exactly what he believes that Ellison is lying about. Plus, we do have audio of Amy Klobuchar makes a wild suggestion that voting for Democrats will actually stop hurricanes. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News.